Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary, and gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness, in a desert region. They did not find a way to an inhabited city. They were hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them also by a straight way to go to an inhabited city. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders to the sons of men. For he has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul he has filled with what is good. Let's pray and ask God's blessing upon his word. Father, as we come this night to your word of truth, and as we consider the depths of your character, we ask that you would give us of your Spirit in abundant measure to understand what your word teaches. O Lord, bring these things home to our hearts, that we might indeed know them in our experience as well as in our minds. And we pray that you would make us more and more grateful as we listen to your word. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we approach our annual National Day of Thanksgiving, it always seems to me a great challenge to think biblically about giving thanks. Our culture wants to press us and to conform us into its patterns and its priorities. And so we're constantly being pushed into the world's mold. It's our Christian duty to resist this pressure, these secularizing influences, and rather to be transformed by the renewing of our minds through the Word of God. So tonight I want to focus your attention on what the Scripture teaches about one of God's attributes. Namely, I want to focus your thinking on the goodness of God. When I started investigating this topic in Scripture, I was surprised to find out how often God's goodness is directly connected to giving thanks. A number of Psalms start out with the statement, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." Moreover, as you search the Scriptures, you find a conceptual connection between the goodness of God and men giving thanks. It runs throughout the Bible. And so, in order to enrich our giving of thanks this year, let's pause for a few moments to think deeply about this attribute of divine goodness. I want to speak for just a few moments tonight, first about God's essential goodness. Then we want to look at God's goodness expressed, and then close with some thoughts on responding to God's goodness. When Greek philosophers like Plato talked about goodness, they had some abstract ideal in their minds that existed above and beyond everything else. It was even above the gods themselves. But the Bible never suggests such a scheme. There is no standard of goodness that exists independent of God or stands above God. But rather, when we talk about God's goodness, we're not suggesting that he somehow measures up to a higher and greater standard. Instead, the Bible tells us that God himself is goodness. He himself is the standard by which the goodness of everything else is judged. So his very character really defines the concept of goodness for us. We hear this stated in Psalm 119, verse 68, which reads, "You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes." And so God, in his essential nature, the heart of who he is, God is good. He is goodness itself. Jesus affirms this same fact when he was speaking to the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10. When the young man addressed him as good master, Jesus replied, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." And so God, and God alone, is absolutely, thoroughly, and essentially good. And when we begin to look at God and see him as he is, that's when we start to understand what goodness is all about. Anything in this world that can be said to be good is really just a faint reflection of God's nature and God's character. So what exactly does God's goodness consist of? When Jesus says that no one is good except God alone, what does that really mean? Well, in Hebrew, the word good, tov, has a wide range of meanings, some of which are moral and some of which are non-moral. To be good can mean to be useful, to accomplish a purpose. Sometimes we'll say that this thing or that thing is good for nothing. And what we really mean is it's not good for accomplishing the purpose that we have in view. We know that God always accomplishes every one of his holy purposes. And so we can say that he is good in that sense. Goodness also sometimes signifies something that is pleasant, something that is agreeable, even something that is beautiful. God is altogether lovely. He is entirely pleasant. He is beauty itself. And so he is good in this way as well. Goodness can likewise convey generosity and being loving. We know that God is generous, that he loves to give. But then goodness also has moral aspects to it. Something that is good is free from defect. It is sound. It is right. It can also be said that excellence and moral rectitude or uprightness is good. You can have an excellent wife. She is a good wife. And if you're really blessed, she has good behavior, excellent, upright, moral conduct. Goodness is also connected with the idea of justice. So something that is just is good, and something that is good is just. Now when it comes to these moral aspects of goodness, we have to say that God is all of these things as well. He is excellent. He is praiseworthy. He is morally upright. He is incapable of sin. He is altogether just. So we can say that God is good ethically and morally as well as being good in those non-moral senses of beauty and appropriateness and pleasingness. This all leads some theologians to suggest that God's goodness is really a general category that describes a whole bunch of things in his character. It includes his loveliness and his sweetness, his kindness and his generosity. His goodness encompasses God's love, God's grace, his mercy, his pity, and his compassion. It touches on his long-suffering patience, on his abundant loving kindness, and all of the tenderness of his fatherly care to the children of men. So God is good in every respect. And the more you get to know God, the more you come to see what real, bona fide goodness is actually all about, what it really looks like. Well, not only is God good in his essential character, in his nature, in who he is and what he is, but we also see God's goodness expressed in what he does. Again, I like Psalm 119, verse 68. God is good and he does good. So the goodness of his nature is then expressed and demonstrated in the goodness of his deeds. I think we see this in the very first chapter of the Bible. When God created all things by the word of his power in the space of 6 days, what were they? They were all very good. And as the good creator looked at this creation he had made, the work of his hands, he said, "It is very good." And so he was pronouncing his own work of creation to be good. And certainly when we look at the world around us, we can see God's goodness displayed in nature. We see it in the fact that he opens his hand and he provides food, drink, shelter, and all things for all his creatures. That is a good thing. The fact that a cardinal or a woodpecker or the little black-capped chickadee can survive through the winter with plenty to eat and plenty to drink, that is God's goodness. You could say the same thing for all the wild animals of the forest and for all the fish of the sea. A number of years ago, in teaching my children science, I came across a fact that I had just never considered before. It was talking about how the molecular makeup of ice is such that it is obviously lighter than water. That's why your ice cube floats at the top of your drink. And they made the point that if it was the other way around, if ice was heavier than water, then whenever winter came, the ice would form and it'd fall down to the bottom of the lake. And then more ice would form and it'd fall down. And it would gradually build up from the bottom up until the whole lake was frozen solid. And then what would the fish do? The survival of the fish of the lakes and the ponds depends on the fact that the molecular makeup of ice keeps it on the top, and it freezes from the top down, and only in small lakes and ponds does it ever freeze all the way down to the bottom. And so God is good even in how he constructs ice and water, and how he takes care of the fish of the sea. If you look around you, if you examine nature, if you look at the creation, you just see example after example of God's goodness, His kindness, His compassion. If God is good in how He treats the created order and how He deals with these creatures, how much more is His goodness seen in His dealings with the sons of men? And that's really the message of the section of Psalm 107 that I read to you. There they were, wandering in the wilderness in a desert region. They couldn't find their way to an inhabited city. They were fainting of hunger and thirst. And in their trouble, in the midst of their distress, they cried out to the Lord. And God saw these sons of men in their distress, and He delivered them. He led them by a straight way to the inhabited city they were seeking. He gave them food and drink, clothing and shelter. He rescued them. He redeemed them. He protected them from their adversary so that their foe did not devour them. He gathered them together from east and west, from north and south. He showed them His loving kindness, and He saved them. Now, if we were to read on in that psalm, we would see the same basic themes and patterns played out in a variety of different scenarios. No matter what the circumstances, God is in the business of showing His goodness to the sons of men. He takes care of us. He sees us in our distress, and His heart is filled with pity and compassion for us. As a father has compassion on His children, so the Lord takes pity on His people. I dare say that if we were to review our own lives, we would find the same thing to be true. Think back to times of rebellion, to those days when you were living contrary to the Word of God. You were sunk down in your sin. You were behaving like one of God's sworn enemies. Even in those days, even when wickedness marked your path, was God harsh and cruel to you? Did He treat you with severity? Was He brutal with you? Did He even treat you as your sins deserve? Or did He generously provide for you? Did He open His hand to daily supply your needs, even while you were shaking your fist in His face? Or think about times when you were in desperate straits. Perhaps there was some overwhelming sorrow in your life, or perhaps you were dealing with a devastating illness. Maybe you were having financial difficulties, or you had a relationship that was going sour. When you found yourself at the bottom of the pit of despair, did God desert you at that time? Did He turn a cold shoulder against you? Or instead, did He answer your prayers? Did He cheer your heart with a ray of hope? Was He a friend to you in your times of distress? I'm sure that He was. And then think about those times when life was going pretty well. It was good days, and you were tempted to forget Him because you had everything you needed and then some. And sometimes you did forget Him. But did He ever forget you? On those days where you ignored Him, did he ignore you? Well, I doubt it. And then what about those times when you were just being difficult? When you were such a pill that nobody in the world wanted to be near you? Did God forsake you when you were at your worst? Did he refuse to deal with you because you were just so difficult? And when you finally came to your senses and confessed your sins, did he refuse to forgive you because of the way you had been acting? Well, I think you get my point. God is constantly good to us. He is unremitting in his mercy, his grace, and his compassion towards us. And he displays that. He demonstrates that even to unrepentant reprobates. It's not that God says there is this little sliver of humanity that has earned my affection, and I will give them some goodness because they've been good boys and good girls. But the rest of these people, I'm not going to waste my time on them because they are just so bad all the time. That is not how God works. God looks at all of us and he sees us in our condition. He knows us as we really are, not as we like to present ourselves, but he knows us in our true and living colors. And he says to us, even though you're a stinker, even though you're inconsistent, even though you do not live up to the knowledge and the grace you've been given, even though you are not consistently walking in my ways, even though you lapse into rebellion at times, I am still going to be good to you. I am still going to be kind to you. I am still going to show fatherly care to you, even though you are a spoiled and hardened child. Now think about this fact. God was very good to Adolf Hitler, to Joseph Stalin, to Mao Zedong, to many of the worst criminals that have ever lived in our world. To those people that even unbelievers agree must be in hell. God was good to them. God was kind to them. He showed them love even though they were evil and did evil things. And so you see, God's love and God's goodness and God's kindness is truly a universal quality that touches not just the righteous, but it even reaches out to the wicked. Well, in view of God's mercies, in view of his goodness, how should we respond? What is a fitting and appropriate reply to such a good God who has done so many good things? Well, I think it starts with being just a bit more thoughtful, a bit more attentive. It's good for us to slow down the hectic pace of life in order to have just a little time to contemplate, to think on the goodness of God, to think about his nature, what he is really, truly like, and to review and to rehearse the loving kindness he has displayed in his works towards us. Count your blessings. Name them one by one, as the old song says. Go back over the records. Review the tape. Look at the books. And ask yourself, how has God shown his kindness and his goodness to me? How has he demonstrated this quality that is so close to his heart and so much a part of his character? When have I found him compassionate? How have I seen his grace working in my life? What good things has he given to me? When we were on vacation this summer in Washington, D.C., we chose as a memory verse, a theme verse for our family vacation, "No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly." Well, we had gone on our tour of the Capitol building, and the next item on our agenda that day was to go to the Washington Monument and to take a tour. The Capitol building took a bit longer than I anticipated. And I was watching my watch and thinking, I don't know if we're going to make it. Well, we got out of the Capitol building, and I said, let's take the metro. I couldn't find the metro station. And I thought, rather than going around in circles trying to find the metro station, let's just walk. That's a long walk. My family walked uprightly. And the whole time I'm going, I'm praying, Lord, no good thing do you withhold from those who walk uprightly. My children and I want to be on this tour. Can you please work it out? We got to the Washington Monument 15 minutes after our tour was supposed to go. And I thought, it's all lost. It's over. The vacation is ruined. No, it wasn't that bad. In despair, in hoping against hope, I went up to the ranger, and I said, well, we had tickets for 12:30, but I suppose that's long gone, isn't it? And he said, no, the line's right over there. Now, in the great scope and scheme of things, that the young family going up the Washington Monument means nothing at all. The Christian church would have continued on its track without us doing that thing, but God knew that we wanted to do that. And even that good thing, he did not withhold from us. You see, you go back over the details of your lives and you start thinking about this scenario, that situation, what happened here and how it all worked out. And you start to say, you know, God has been good. He's been very good. He's been kind, and he has treated us with a fatherly pity. And that's an important thing for us to do. We are in a world, a culture, a society that is go, 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 go. Yesterday. It needs to be done by yesterday. That's the message that we're bombarded with all the time. We are a frantic people living in a frenetic society. We have little time for contemplation, little time for thinking back and remembering and recalling and reflecting on God's goodness. But I just want to appeal to you to be a bit countercultural, to take some time to think without the pressure, without the clock ticking, without the schedule screaming at you. Just take some time to ask yourself, how has God been good to me? Well, as it all begins to sink in, as God's love and grace comes into clear focus, then we need to open our mouths and we need to say thank you, to give thanks. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, it says. Let me read for you just a small sampling of scripture verses where either we are encouraged or exhorted to give thanks, or where thanks is being given. I start in Psalm 145. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Make glad the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. I will give you thanks forever, because you have done it, and I will wait on your name, for it is good in the presence of your godly ones. Willingly I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. You see, over and over, Scripture says, open your mouth and say thank you. It's not hard to do. It's not particularly challenging. It doesn't take a great IQ. It just takes a willingness to open your mouth and to say to the Lord, I thank you, my God, for your goodness to me and for how you have been kind and faithful to me. So as you go into your Thanksgiving Day tomorrow, as you enjoy the four F's, food, family, fellowship, and football, don't forget to stop and to speak your gratitude to the good Lord who has done good things for you. Now, there's not many sermons that I get to preach where there is instantaneous application, but this is one of them. We want to spend a little time giving thanks to the Lord. And this can be done